be involved. Yeah? Sound good? Great. All right, so we're going to jump into God's Word this morning. We're going to put a pause on John, on the Gospel of John. I felt like the Lord wanted to do something a little different this morning. I'm not one for making a big mention of a lot of the other holidays. Obviously, Christmas and Easter we do, and of course, Mom's Day and Father's Day. Those are like the kind of, you know, but some of the other holidays we tend to let them slide a little bit. But I really felt the Lord impress upon me that He wanted to talk about and just, you know, I love that Ted said it, you know, we celebrate America. And I know maybe that's not popular in our culture right now to actually say, no, I'm proud to live in America, and I'm proud to celebrate it, and thank God for America, and God bless America. But I think that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to celebrate America and celebrate really what it means to be an American. And I know that I can already like feel like, ooh, because this line has been blurred a little bit about, well, you know, if you're an American, you're a Christian, and if you're a Christian, you're an American, and that means you think, you know, and I want to be really careful. This is not a political message. All right, it's not anything about that. I don't even really want to talk about the hot button issues. I don't even want to talk about all the stuff that's wrong with America, because we know there's plenty wrong with America. We know that there's problems. We know that it's sliding downhill. We know all that stuff, okay? But I want to talk about what it means to be an American and what it means for us living in this time, to understand our place in history and in prophecy and what our response should be, and be an encouragement, you know, and actually to celebrate the victories, to celebrate the good things that God is doing, the amazing things God is doing, because He is the God of today. He's not the God of yesterday. He's the God of today. He is the I Am. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so the things He did thousands of years ago, He's still doing today, and we're going to celebrate that. And we can't back away from the fact that America was founded on godly Christian principles. And so in the same way that Americans, you know, true Americans don't, you know, oh, the world's so bad, it blows me. What do? You pick up, you soldier on, you get on with it. And that's what God calls us to do in Christ Jesus. Things are bad. The enemy's out there. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But thanks be to God, He gives us grace, and He makes us more than conquerors in all these things. So you soldier on, and you look forward with hope and expectation till that day when He comes back in the sky. Until then, His Holy Spirit here, and He promised He would never leave us or forsake us. So that's good news, yeah? Amen. So our title was A Shield for America. And what do you know? And we're just going to make this simple point this morning that God is calling you and I to wield the shield. Everybody say, wield the shield. He is calling you and I to wield the shield of His ways. Again, this is not some deep theological message. There's not a whole lot of like, oh my God, you know, I mean, we're going to get into John next week in John chapter 5. You know, he gets into some pretty deep theological stuff here. It's going to take some time to wade through that. This isn't really like overly heavy, but it's a reminder. It's an encouragement. It's back to the basics of things, okay? I mean, I love the symbolism of the shield. I brought my shield today. Always look for an excuse to bring Cap's shield out. Man, I love this shield. And I love what it stands for. I love the colors. I love how it reminds me of America. You know, not the America that's, ooh, but the America that says, man, that stood up to Britain and said, yeah, no, we're not doing that anymore. We're not living that way anymore. You know, this is what it stands for. I love what it, you know, what it represents. You know, truth, justice, and America. Oh, sorry, that's the other guy. Sorry. Wrong universe. Again, I know we have plenty of reasons to be upset, to be depressed, to be worried, right? I mean, inflation, it cost me 50 cents more than it did last year to buy my pack of hot dogs for my 4th of July celebration. And I mean, again, I'm not making light of things. I know times are tough. I know that some of us have to make very real decisions about how are we going to pay for this and you know, what am I going to have to do without in order to pay for heat, you know, or air conditioning if you live in Texas, you know, or food or any of those things. I get it that times are tough. And we understand that there is an onslaught against God's truth, against His ways, that wants to counteract that and is militantly opposed to it. And it is in your face anymore. It is not subtle. It is not hidden. It is overt. It is direct. And they're making no bones about it, right? We're coming for your kids. We know all that stuff. Newsflash. None of that is new to God. That is not an American problem. That is a human problem. That has been a human problem since the very first generation of humans. Why? Because human beings are selfish, and we do things according to our sin nature. We do things stupidly, and we do things in our own in self-interest. And a result of that, sin has entered the world, and sin, left off the leash, just runs wild and is never satisfied. It just keeps getting worse and worse until it gets corrected. That's a human problem, okay? So this is nothing new to us. And let me tell you, folks, this is not the time in human history for us as a church to bury our head in the sand or to go hide in a cave somewhere and be a hermit and say, well, Lord, it's just me and you until you come back again, and I'm just going to shelter down in place here until it's over. That is not the time for that. Now is the time for the church to stand up. Now is the time for the church to boldly proclaim the truth, to raise his banner high, to lift the shield, and to be the shield in your families, in your communities, in your country, in your world. It's not the time for us to just sit around and point fingers at sinners and say, oh, how bad they are, and I can't believe they did this, and look at all that. Now is the time to love the sinner, that where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. To boldly proclaim truth, because truth is what sets you free. Truth is what keeps you from, because we all act according to what we believe, and we believe the lies of the enemy. So the only way to counteract that is to present the truth. And the truth pierces our heart, like in Acts chapter 2. And when the truth pierces our heart, then we say, Lord, what do? Show me your ways. Lead me in your ways. So now is the time to boldly proclaim that truth and to love the sinner while we hate the sin. Not tolerate it. Not make excuses or concessions to it. To be bold and say, no, this is right and this is wrong. These are the boundaries that we will not trespass. Now is not the time for us to grow weary in doing good, for in due time we will reap the reward if we do not grow weary. Now is the time all the more to not give up on the race, but to finish strong, to finish well, to live with the urgency of the gospel message, the most powerful truth in all the universe, the power of the gospel message. In the aftermath of Jesus' resurrection, 11 men changed the course of the world. 11 people who were bold and steadfast and resolute in proclaiming the truth and in reaching those who were like sheep without a shepherd, the lost, those who didn't know any better. 11 men changed the course of the world. I wonder, is there 11 people here today who are willing to change the world, who are willing to change your world? And how did they do it? They didn't do it on these grand stages. They didn't do it from amphitheaters. They didn't do it with social media. How did they do it? They did it one person at a time. And that's all God is calling us to do. That's all he's calling us to do, is to raise the shield, to be the shield to those that God has put in your circle of influence, and win and change the world one person at a time. That's it. You know, the last few weeks we've been talking about this idea. On Father's Day, we talked about how what a man does becomes history, but what he sets in motion becomes his legacy. About extending beyond ourselves, beyond our reach. And last week, Jenny brought the message and said, roll the reel. Man, take a second and let's look back and look at what God has done, whether you have been walking with God for 10 years or for 10 minutes. Look at what he has done. Look at how he has led you and transformed you and done these incredible, amazing things and led you to do things that you thought, man, that's impossible. There's no way I'll ever do that. There's no way I'll ever get out of that boat and walk on water. And not only that, to roll the reel for what he has done, but then to consider, what's he going to do in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years? With however long you have left in your life, what is God going to do when you look back on you and you say, man, I can't believe what God has done. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my joy and rest. Because folks, listen, I don't care how bad it is out there, how dark the storm clouds out are. I understand that we are what started out as a few pebbles kicked downhill is now an avalanche rolling downhill. I get that. But understand what this book says. Understand that this story does not end in doom and gloom. This story ends with the Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords appearing in the sky with millions of angels and a trumpet sound. And every person on the planet, every man, woman, child, every human being will see him and they will bend their knee. They will acknowledge he is the Messiah and Lord of all. That's how the story ends. It ends with his believers living forever in a kingdom beyond our imagination, beyond comprehension, in a place where there is no sickness, no disease, not even the memory of it. And God will wipe every tear from your eye, because he will make all things new. It ends in a place so incredibly, dazzlingly brilliant that we can't comprehend it. And it doesn't ever end. That's how the story ends for those who persevere to the end. So now is the time for us to pick up the shield, to raise the banner, and to finish strong. That's where we're heading. You know, so I'm encouraging this morning. Be a difference maker. Be an influencer. Be a mentor to the people that God has put in your circle of influence. I don't care if you're, I mean, we automatically kind of think about our kids and our grandkids and those kind of things, but I don't care. If you don't have kids, then you are still an influencer. You're still a mentor. I want to thank you, all right, as a father who has a 10-year-old little girl, I want to thank you, Jenny, I want to thank you for how you all love our daughter, for how you show and demonstrate to her. And I see this happening. I see this happening with folks where she is becoming friends with you, adults. And for a 10-year-old little girl in this world, she needs as many support and role models as possible, because there is a tidal wave out there trying to distract her, trying to delude her, trying to take her down a different path. But you all are shining examples, not because you're perfect, but because you're honest, and because you're vulnerable, and because you're true, and because you love her the best that you can, the best that you know how. So thank you. It does our hearts good to see her, that she loves to be with you and has a gentle smile. And, you know, I mean, there are countless examples in the last few months of how you guys have come alongside her just by being who you are. That's what I'm talking about. That's how you do that. That's how you change this world. So keep doing it. Jenny said our daughter just said this morning, we have the best congregation. So thank you. Thank you for confirming and affirming the values we try and teach her, that she sees it's not just us, but it's a whole, that it's more than one person, and that she sees the results of it. She feels loved and accepted and comfortable here. So thank you. Keep doing it. Keep on keeping on. Not just for her, but for anybody in Aubrey and whoever God puts in your path. Amen? All right. So that's where, you know, I love Independence Day. I love celebrating the 4th of July or Treason Day. Ungrateful colonials. I love Independence Day about as much as I love Christmas, to be honest with you. Because I love the message that it brings. You know, Christmas is about the hope, the wonder, the audacity of God. Easter is the power of the resurrection, right? Independence Day sums up everything that God is about. If there is one word that describes God's purposes, what he does, and what he is about, it's not love, it's freedom. That's why God exists, that's why he created man and women, and it's why he does and did all that he did, and why he does all that he does, because he wants you to live in freedom. I mean, look at the scriptures. It is all over the place. Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. I feel like we get to do Braveheart every time we see freedom, right? I won't blow the speakers out today. I'll give you a rest, Lloyd. Well, maybe. We'll see. You can't stop me. You can only try and contain me. John 8:32. And Jesus said, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8:36. So if the Son makes you free, then you are free indeed. And all the other things in the world that offer the illusion of freedom, only Jesus Christ offers you true freedom. Romans 8:2, Paul says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom. This is what God is all about. He wants us to live in freedom. Yes, his motivation is love. He did it because he loves you like no one else does, and no one else ever can or will. And his love is incomprehensible, insurmountable. Yes, he loves you, but his reasoning is freedom. Why? Because he does not want you to live under tyranny. What is tyranny? Tyranny is cruel and oppressive rule. And make no mistake, there is a force in this world that wants to subject you to his tyranny. His name is Satan, the devil, the liar, the schemer, the murderer of old, who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants you to live under his tyranny, live under his oppression, live under his fear, live under his slavery, under his bondage, under his captivity. God wants you to be free. And not just in a spiritual sense, but in a physical sense too. He wants us to live in freedom. I mean, again, America founded on those Christian principles. Just as in the spiritual realm, we didn't want to live under oppression, we said, no, we don't want to live under the tyranny of England anymore. No more. We're going to be free. That's why America's great, because it's about freedom. Freedom to pursue the life that you want, the life that you can have, a land of opportunity. That's why more people want in to America than want out, because of the freedom and the opportunity it presents. And that's with understanding that America's got a lot of problems. It's still better than every place else on the planet. And if you have traveled to other places, you know that. If all you've experienced here, you can become jaded, you can become kind of get blind to those things and say, well, you know, we become kind of entitled. But if you travel anywhere else in the world and you've experienced, you see how the vast majority of the rest of the world operates and lives, you understand the incredible gift that you have to live in America, to live under freedom. The very fact that we can get together like this and talk about Jesus and even mention that name and have this Bible here in my hand and say, I'm not worried about the police kicking the door in and taking me away because I have this. Do you understand the incredible gift that you have of freedom right now? Now listen, I'm not going to whitewash our history. I'm not going to stand here and pretend that everything we've done has been perfect or right. Just as America had some missteps along the way and did things that started out well-intentioned but had some disastrous results, the same can be said of Christianity. Lots of things have been done. Lots of horrific, barbaric things have been done in the name of Christianity that were well-intentioned but had disastrous results. Read the history of the Crusades. Some really misguided stuff out there, okay? So I'm not going to stand here and pretend we've made mistakes. But just in the same way as America does, so in the same way that Christianity does, we don't get wrapped up in the past. We don't stay there. We don't stay stuck there. Like Paul said, one thing I do, I forget what lies behind and I press onward. I follow the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so in the same way as there is no condemnation for anyone who's in Christ, it doesn't matter what you have done before you came to Christ. All that matters is what happens as a result of you coming to Christ. God is far more concerned with your future than he is with your past. So in the same way, we live with that freedom of saying, okay, I can acknowledge it, but not be bound by it, not be identified by it. We're moving on. And so we move forward and we make the best of today, because that's all we can do. We can't fix or change or control the past. All we can do is fix or change or control today. And as far as control, it's very little, but all we can really control is our response, right? All we can control is ourselves, how we think, how we act, what we believe. That's all. John Adams wrote. So again, we're gonna celebrate the 4th of July. This is what John Adams wrote on July 2nd, 1776. He wrote this letter to his wife. I believe that the Independence Day will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other from this time forward evermore. He's telling you to get together and have a barbecue and light fireworks. That's what he's telling you to do. That's how it should be celebrated. He's like, man, this is the greatest thing ever. We should celebrate by blowing stuff up. And again, I understand how far, you know, National Treasure, you know? Nick Cage, you know, he says, no one talks like that anymore, right? We don't talk like that anymore, right? And it's funny because I just saw, you know, a little PSA in the newspaper, you know, how to celebrate 4th of July. Number one on the list, fireworks. Number one on how to celebrate 4th of July with fireworks says, don't do it. Leave it to the experts. Go to the professional shows. I'm like, whatever. I saw a video the other day. I'm making light, okay? I love fireworks too, and I've had some bad experience with the fireworks too, and I never want anybody to have a bad show or a bad experience with fireworks, and I always want people to be safe. Spectators first, myself second, okay? I saw a video the other day. It said the most American thing ever, and they're lighting off fireworks on a sidewalk. You know, the people are like that far away, and of course it falls over, and it, you know, and there's stuff shooting everywhere, and it pretty much lights the car on fire. You know, like America. He goes on to say, "You will think me transported with enthusiasm, but I am not. I am well aware of the toil and blood and treasure that it will cost us to maintain this declaration and support and defend these states. Yet through all the gloom, I can see the rays of ravishing light and glory. I can see that the end is more than worth all the means, and that the posterity will triumph in that day's transaction." That's what it means to be an American. That it is hard. It has been hard fought and hard won, and it takes hard work to maintain, but it is worth it. And that there are ravishing rays of light and glory out there. There are tons of good things happening all around the country. So don't let the liars deceive you. Don't let the schemers have their way. Look for the good. Look for the good things. Be part of the good. Watch what God is doing. So, freedom is the most precious ideal. It's worth fighting for. It's worth celebrating. So I encourage you to celebrate Independence Day this week. Freedom, the most precious ideal. I'm sure some of you have seen those signs. You know, if you're thankful for your freedom, thank a soldier. And I certainly absolutely believe that and understand that. Freedom, it was established and maintained by the blood, sweat, and tears of those who were willing to take up the shield and take up arms to say to England no, and then to defend it. So this past week we were away for a few days. We were celebrating Jenny's birthday. Happy birthday, love. Give her a birthday hug after service, right? So we're doing some day trips here and there, and we were just traveling these little towns and you know, just getting away for a little bit. And I walked by this one shop, and I saw a sign, and it caught my eye. And maybe some of you have seen it, because apparently it's been around for a while, but I've never seen this before. And I saw it, and it gave me pause. And it wasn't the, if you enjoy your freedom, thank a soldier. It said this. It said, if you want to thank a soldier, be the kind of American worth fighting for. And I was like, how many of you have seen that before? A few of you. Okay. Oh, a lot of you haven't. So it's new to you, too. Good. And I saw that in passing, and it really kind of staggered me a little bit. Like, be the kind of American worth fighting for. And I just began to think about that and think about how we've said this in the last couple of weeks. You know, it, scripturally it says, how many times is it saying here, walk worthy of the gift that you have been given. Walk worthy of the gift you've been given. And again, this is not about saying that we can accomplish anything on our own merit. We cannot earn or merit God's grace, his favor, or his forgiveness in any way, shape, or form. In fact, that's the whole point. We can. It's impossible. Anytime we try, we've made a mess. That's called religion. So God, in his love and in his wisdom, has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. He made the way. He sent his son. He paid the price. He reestablished the ability for us to have a relationship with him. So this is all about what he has done. Now, he has done the work. We have to take that step to accept it, to receive it, and then, if we have breath left in our lungs, the expectation is clear that we are to walk in a manner that is worthy of it, that is respectful of it, that does its best to live to honor that great gift. Okay, so understand that it's his grace comes first that then results in life transformation that enables us to do things that live according to, that are worthy of his gift. Are you with me on that? Okay, are we clear on that? All right, this is not some self-made man kind of salvation, not the exact opposite of that. But there is this expectation that God expects us to grow up, to mature, to change the way we think, that we become more like him. And so in the same way here, we can't earn or merit our freedom as a country, but we can then live in honor and respect of it and be the kind of person that's worth fighting for. Now, that does not mean that, oh, you know, hey, you really messed up. So, you know, every soldier out there in their service, whether they gave their lives or they're not, they didn't do it so that you would be a perfect American. They did it so that you would have the freedom to be whatever kind of American you want to be. Aggie got it. See, because what is this not going to touch? And just in the same way that God won't touch with his word, is he won't touch our free will. He's given us the choice, the ability to choose what we want to do. That's, some would say that's a dangerous choice. That's a stupid choice, because he gave Adam and Eve that choice and they immediately disregarded it. And so has every human being since then. But he understands that a love that is freely given is far more powerful and worth far more than a love that is obligated or mandated. And so in the same way, no soldier is out there expecting you, I should say, to be that kind of person. They're hoping they will, you will be. But they did it for you anyway because they love the country and they love you. But anyway, so it didn't make me think about, what does it mean to be the kind of American worth fighting for? What does that look like? You know, there are, how do we do that? We raise the shield, okay? Let's read Proverbs chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Today is July 2nd. If you read your proverb this morning, you read this, let's read it. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth. Oh, sorry. Let's try that again. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. There's over 10 times in Scripture this phrase or a very similar phrasing of it appears, in that the Lord is a shield to those who walk in integrity. How do we do that? This is God who is it. It is not about anything we do on our own. This is God at work within us. So if he is our shield, what does that mean? And how are we then to pick up his shield and to wield his shield? How do we do that? Right? We model, we implement, we restore the principles that he has stood for, that he has established, his wisdom that he established before the ages and said, this is how things should work. If you do things this way, life will be good for you. If you disregard them, they will be bad for you. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. That's the laws of physics. That's how that works. That's because God established those things. And so how do we do that? And I understand, I know that there's a tide out there that is pulling you, trying to get you to go the other way. How do we do that? One person at a time. We do it one person at a time, okay? Americans don't throw in the towel and quit, neither do Christians. We say, okay, you know, the Proverbs say the righteous falls seven times but gets up again. I love that proverb. Why? Because it says the righteous are not righteous because they're perfect. They're righteous are righteous because they get up again after they fall. And so we don't lay down, we don't quit, we don't say, oh, it's just too bad, I guess I'm just destined to be a sinner the rest of my life. No, we get up, carry on. Oh, I tried that principle. It didn't work. We try again, and we try again, and we keep implementing it until it works. When we do that, when we implement God's principles in our lives, when we raise that shield, look at what happens. Look at what he does. Let's read on. Guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity and every good course. Aren't these the things that our culture is looking for right now, trying to implement? Righteousness, justice, and equity for all? And it's funny, because the further we get away from God's ways, the further we get away from this stuff. Read on. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. Move forward. There we go. From those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways, to deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words. And it goes on to tell you all about all these different things. Let's just be honest, right? There are all kinds of paths out there. There are all kinds of deluding and deceiving influences out there that want to take you down a path that leads to destruction. There are crooked paths which lead to destruction, but God is the shield. Now, why is that important? Because this blew my mind this past week when I found this. In the New Testament, the word shield appears exactly once. It's in Ephesians 6:12, the armor of God. Take up the shield of faith. In the original Greek language, the word shield eventually came to mean a large oblong shield like the Romans carried. But its original meaning, a stone or other material employed to close a doorway. God is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. He is a stone that closes off a doorway that leads to destruction. He will lead you in the paths of His righteousness, of His ways. He will close off the doors that lead to destruction and will open the doors that lead you to life. There are plenty of pathways that lead to destruction, but God's ways are the shield that keep us on the right path. So when I say, take up the shield, wield the shield, let Him close off those pathways that lead to destruction, and let Him lead you to the open door that leads to His life. Now, as human beings, we don't really care for barriers. We don't like the looks of them. Again, Jenny and I were driving around this past week. We were spending a lot of time all over the eastern part of Pennsylvania, so we got to see a lot of Pennsylvania's state animal in full display. The state flag flying there. State flower in full bloom. Since we're talking about, you know, England, right? In England, they drive on the left side of the road. In Pennsylvania, we drive on what's left of the road. We don't like, you know, you're like, everywhere we turn around, like, oh, man, under construction. This road's under construction. This went down, oh, detour here. Oh, you know, all over the place. Like, it's like, is every road under construction at the same time? Feels that way, right? Now, and they got the cones up, and then, of course, and I'm watching some people and thinking, nope, right? Just going to ignore all that, and, you know, and why are those kind of barriers a good thing? Because barriers are for our protection, aren't they? Even Pennsylvania's finest, they're having a really bad day driving through the concrete. God's ways are the barriers that close off the path of destruction. He is that shield. When I got that visual picture that He is a large boulder sealing off a room or a pathway that I shouldn't go in, God, be my shield. Don't let me look at your shield as restrictive or even as something that, you know, is merely defensive, but it is an offensive weapon. So what will keep America from going down those paths? What will turn the course? What will turn the tide? When you and I raise the shield. One person, one event, one situation, one circumstance at a time. I understand that it can be. We can look at the big picture and say it is overwhelming to try and fix it, to try and turn that tide. So let you off the hook. You don't have to. That's not your job. That's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to be the one person that God has called you to be, who He has made you to be, who He is transforming you to be. And that's it. You can't control others. You can only control yourself. On Father's Day, a few weeks ago, my daughter got me a gift because she remembered an interaction I had with her. We were out shopping one day, and I wanted to get a little cactus, a little succulent plant. And I had some, it's a long story, it doesn't really matter, okay? I couldn't get the plant. I stood at the checkout line for like 10 minutes while I was trying to scan a code, and it couldn't. I'm like, it was on the dollar table there. Can I just give you the dollar? No, no, no. So 10 minutes later, I said, this is not worth my time. I'll get it. Some other time we left. For Father's Day, she remembered that, and so she got me a little plant. She got me a little succulent there. Now, Bob, I don't know, can you zoom in on that? Because I know Aggie said she can't see it from sitting up there. I'll hold it nice and steady for you. So we'll put it up on the screen so you can see. Aggie, can you see it now? Very good. All right. So it's just a little, you know, a little plant, and that meant a lot to me. I thought it was really cute, and I put it on my desk at our house upstairs where I write messages and stuff. I put it there, and there's a window there that looks and it gets the west sun. It gets the sunset. So that was a couple weeks ago, and then last week, Jenny and I and our daughter, we were away for the week. We were out at the Agape Festival, which, if you haven't heard about that, that's where the campground, the Agape Farms campground out in middle Pennsylvania where the Creation Festival used to be held, and that wasn't held this year, but some people got together and said, no, we believe God wants us to do something new. That was their theme, God's doing a new thing. And so they invited us, invited Jenny to come out and speak, and Jenny's band, Stained Glass Road, to come out and perform, because it was about, really was about just praising the name of Jesus, lifting him up in praise, and then getting into the Word of God. So it was praise and teaching for 3 days of that. So we were out there for a couple of days, and it was a great time, you know, just being with folks and lifting up. And it was great representation from the BMCC family. Thanks for coming out and representing and supporting. It was a good time hanging with you all. A lot of work, a lot of, you know, but it was good. And we got to be a part, and Jenny got to speak, and then they asked me to speak and be part of the baptisms. And that was really good, you know, just letting God do his thing was a really cool time. Point is, we came home after 4 days. I went upstairs, and I looked at my plant, and in 4 days, I don't know if you can see this or not, when I got this plant, it was straight up and down, and in 4 days, it's got a 45-degree angle on it. It's already bending towards the sun, towards the light. And I know plants do that, right? But it was just so cool to me to think, man, this, first of all, that it's a real plant. It's not, you know, it's not, I'm like, is it real? Okay. It's real. It's really real, and it's growing towards the sunlight. In just 4 days, it put that much of an angle on it, growing towards the sun. And I looked at that, and this is going to be a reminder for me. Again, whether you have been in this relationship with the Lord Jesus for 10 minutes or 10 years, you are already changing. You are already bending towards his light, towards his sun. You are growing towards him. You get a taste of those nutrients, and it's like, man, I want more of that. This thing sat on a shelf in a store, you know, under the fluorescent lighting, and it grew, and they watered it, and they gave it artificial lighting, and they gave it water and all that stuff, and it maintained. But its real growth happens when it gets the real thing. And so maybe you've had experiences where you've chased after the artificial light, the artificial watering of this world, and there's been growth, but not really. And it's not healthy growth. And it's kind of like, I'm just kind of maintaining in this life. But you get a taste of what Jesus Christ is. You let his light pierce your heart. Man, you grow towards that. You want more of that. You're like, yeah, let me soak that stuff up. And you start, so I'm encouraging you, however long you've been with him, you are already different. You are already not the same. Thanks be to God, he's transforming you. Keep growing. Keep growing that way. You don't have to be a whole field. You just have to be one. You just have to be one sunflower that points to the sun. You know, sunflowers all grow towards the light. They all grow towards the sun. They all face that way, right? You know, I wanted one of these plants because I'm horrific when it comes to watering them, so I wanted something that was going to be resilient to my neglect. And Jen's great. She's got plants, you know, and flowers, and we did a lot of, you know, kind of flowering this stuff. We got flowers all over the place. And you know, May was really, and most of June, really up until the week we went camping, right, was really dry. Really dry, you know, drought conditions, you know, and so we're doing the best we can to water plants, you know, like Jenny was away in the ladies' retreat, and I'm like, make sure you water my plants, please, you know. I said, okay. Every morning getting out, watering it, doing it. Okay, I got one job to do this weekend, you know, like keep the kid alive and keep the plants alive. That's pretty much it, you know. Don't burn a house down as like a distant third, you know, eating kind of like secondary, you know, just keep the plants alive. And so water, and they maintained, right? They maintained. Now, we went away last week, and it poured buckets, and it poured even more here than it did out there. Y'all got some really severe storms here and stuff. It poured and rained a lot, right? We came back. Man, the grass was like up to my knees, and the flowers are like, they're loving it. And Jen says this all the time. She says, man, there is such a difference between watering the plants from our hose, our garden hose, which is city water, and letting God's natural rain hit it. And when there is nothing that compares to the growth that happens from God's natural stuff. And so that rain just, man, those flowers perked up and they're blooming and looking great. It looks like a vegetable out there. I'm expecting a T-Rex to walk through some of those things. Like, it's that kind of like stuff happening. That's what God does in our lives. And that's why I'm encouraging you to be in his word, study his ways. I know we struggle with it, and we're going to talk about that in just a second here. We're running out of time, but I just want you to understand, again, taking the pressure off. You don't have to turn the entire tide. All you have to be is the force that God has created you to be. by being obedient to his ways and turning your face towards his light, towards his son, and he'll take care of the rest. So I'm asking you, what light are you bending towards right now? What are the influences? What are you feeding yourself with? What kind of growth are you seeing? Are you going, man, it's not really, I feel kind of stuck, or I feel kind of stagnant, or I feel kind of unhealthy. What are you feeding on? Are you feeding on the natural light of God's ways, or the artificial light of the world's ways? Because the Proverbs tell us that there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And it's so, that is such a powerful truth that it repeats itself, word for word. What light are you bending towards? Will you wield the shield of God's ways? Okay, so I am a big Captain America fan, right? And one of the most famous stories in the comic books is called "Who Will Wield the Shield?" And it's the result of, in the aftermath of the unthinkable, Captain America dies. So who is going to pick up the mantle? Who is going to carry on his ways? Who is going to embody his principles? Who is going to do the things like he did? You know, who does the right thing every time, even if it's the unpopular thing? Who's going to do that? Who will wield the shield? And I'm telling you that God is calling each of us to wield the shield of his ways. He is calling us to pick up the mantle, to carry it forward. Now, bear with me on this, okay? This is just a fun little video. If you haven't picked up on it, I am a Marvel fan. I love the stories. I'm living in the glory days. Well, I was living in the glory days of the Marvel movies. Not so much anymore. But they kind of ended with Endgame, but that's beside the point. Same thing in the movies, you know, Captain America, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched him yet, he gets old. He gets old and he gives up the shield. He gives up the mantle. He's going to pass it to somebody else. Passes it to his friend Sam Wilson. And Sam doesn't want it. He struggles with it. But eventually he learns, I have to pick up this mantle. And so he begins to kind of practice with, you know, Cap does all these incredible things with the shield. You know, for Cap, the shield isn't just a defensive weapon against the attacks, but it's an offensive weapon where you can throw it and do all kinds of fun stuff with it. And like Peter Parker says, that thing doesn't obey the laws of physics at all, you know, but it works. And God's ways are kind of like that. They don't obey the laws like that. That shouldn't work that way, but it does. And so Sam begins to wrestle with the shield and I'm gonna keep practicing, I'm gonna keep trying, I'm gonna train hard, I'm gonna give myself to this, I'm gonna throw it again, and yeah, do some cool flipping, oh look out, you know, and okay, I'm gonna keep sweating, I'm gonna keep working through this thing, and I'm gonna throw, yo, look out, okay, I'm gonna keep working, and there's some really cool music going in the background here, but I'm not going to listen to it because I'm trying to skip through on the copyright part, right? So, oh, look out, and oh, he keeps, but he, the whole time he's working through not just the physical skills, but what does it mean? What does it mean in my heart? What does it mean in my mind to embody these ideals, and can I be that person? And maybe a lot of us think, man, I can't be like these heroes in the Bible. I can't carry God's shield forward. I can't be that person. But you keep at it one day at a time. You keep practicing. All of a sudden you go, whoa, hey, I tried that and it actually worked. Whoa. Maybe there's something to this. I'm going to keep at it. And faith, it grows in your heart. And you keep pushing and you keep doing the things day in and day out. Not, well, I tried it once and it didn't work, so I gave up on it. But all the time, I'm going to keep at it and keep at it and keep pushing and keep sweating and keep doing the hard work. And all of a sudden, you become proficient in his ways. And God does the incredible and the amazing things for you because you're carrying his shield. Whoa. Let me ask you. Let me give you some examples. What I mean about learning to wield the shield. It's not easy. It doesn't come overnight because we have lived for maybe, you know, 20, 30, 40, 70 years under another way of thinking. And we have to relearn those things and learn God's new ways. And so it becomes clunky and it becomes difficult and awkward at first. So the first time, you know, if you are just learning how to discipline your kids according to God's truth, by you're raising that shield and saying, this is how we're going to do things now. I know we used to do things before where I would scream and yell and call you names or send you to your room and do all that stuff, but now we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to discipline things God's way, which we're going to reason, we're going to have, mature conversations. I'm going to explain to you why your behavior is wrong. I'm going to give you a warning and say, if you continue, there's going to be pain that's going to follow as a result of that to get your attention. I'll give you ample opportunity to correct your behavior before we get to that place. But if you keep pushing and if you disregard, then that's going to be, there's going to be a spanking. But we're going to have this rational, mature, controlled conversation. That takes a lot of work. That takes a lot of effort, especially if your kid's having a meltdown in some public place, like a restaurant or a store or something. And the first time you try it, it's awkward and kind of like, oh, I kind of fumbled it. I didn't get it quite right. But you keep at it and you keep doing it. And time after time after time again, you keep working through it until you get the results that you want. And let me, you know, your kids are going to resist that because, man, there was a way we did things before and that was cool. I don't like this new way. There's resistance. So the shield is not just the defensive, but it's an offensive weapon as well, in which you are correcting your child's behavior because you love them. It's not done in anger. It's not done because, you know, I don't have time for this. None of that, right? It requires us to sit down and be patient, to be in control ourselves. But you learn to wield the shield. If you're working through disagreements with your spouse, Jenny and I have known each other for decades, and we still have to learn how to work through it. And now we're getting a lot better at it, right? Our initial attempts were kind of fumbly, awkward, ouchy moments. 10,000 hours to become an expert, right? You know, and again, you know, you can, just like Sam, you know, I'm trying it, and oh, I didn't quite get it right. And if that means, maybe what that looks like for you is like, you know, I had a disagreement with my spouse, and so I give them the silent treatment, and I'm not saying anything because I don't want to say anything because I could, you know, say nothing so I don't say something hurtful. That's a good step. That's a good. You know, rule of thumb, you don't want to say something hurtful that you don't mean or something offensive. I don't go say anything. But if your say nothing lasts for 3 days, that's a bit much. 3 days, 3 weeks. Okay, that you know, that's not healthy. So, but if you get to that place where, you know, I used to have to calm down for 3 hours. Now I got it down to 3 minutes. Good. That's how I was. I just need, you know, if we were having a disagreement, I'd have to just give me a minute. Just give me a minute. Or 30 or something, right? Now, you know, like, we're pretty good. Like, give me 10 seconds. Okay. And what's the phrase we use? You know, hey, I'm on your team, right? I'm on your team. We're in this together, right? It's just not against each other. We're in this, we're seeing things differently. But what are we doing? We're handling God's word. We're wielding the shield going, no, I'm defending against the schemes. The enemy will want to say, well, she just thinks you're, you know, that you're no good, and you're lazy, and you want to go, oh, I'll show her. No, shield up, right? I understand that my wife loves me and cares for me and that I'm her one and only, and she thinks and knows the same. So we deflect those thoughts, and then we take the fight to the enemy. We go on the offensive with God's word, saying, no, hey, I'm on your team. We're in this together. I'm trying to understand it from your perspective. Let's pray together. Wield the shield. Getting a handle on your finances. Man, when you begin to get a handle on your finances according to God's principles, it hurts. I was so excited when I ordered this shield. I ordered it online, and it came in a box, and I was all excited. I'm like, the shield's here. And I didn't really understand the weight of it. And I, you know, tore it out, and I lifted it out, and I hit myself right in the lip with it. And I'm like, oh, man, it really hurts. Wow. Lip got all fat, you know. It hurts to handle God's ways when you're trying something new. And I get it, you know, hey, you make that commitment. I'm gonna structure my finances according to biblical principles. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to commit to God 2% of my income. I'm going to give him that 2%. That's what I'm going to give him. And I'm going to commit to it and give him that. And I'm all excited to do that. And then, oops, I overspent, you know, on coffee or ammunition or shoes or fireworks this week. And now that extra 2% isn't there. It's going to hurt. It's got to come from somewhere. But you begin to order your steps and say, okay, all right, now I learned from that. Ow, all right, I dropped the shield there. I pick it up. We try again. Not, oh, nuts to that. I'm not doing it anymore. No, keep at it. Through the sweat. Okay, next week rolls around. We're going to try it again and again and again. And you begin to see the benefits of it and see how the physics don't work. And you say, I'm giving God, you know, 2%. Now I'm giving him 5%. Now I'm giving him 10%. Now I'm going to give him 10%. I'm giving offerings above and beyond. And he's pouring in. There's money coming in. That doesn't make any sense. We call that God math. You know, I shouldn't have this. You know, we say all the time, we should not have what we have. And yet God has provided according to his riches and glory. Why? Because we've been faithful to wield the shield and to handle things according to his ways. Even when it was difficult, even when it hurt, saying, no, we're gonna do things His way. God, keep us from that path of destruction. I've been down that, down that path of buying stuff and living for today and buying stuff I didn't need and trying to keep up with the Joneses and all that other stuff, and it didn't work and it was miserable. God, be that shield, be that barrier that keeps me from going that way, and lead me in Your paths. Being master over your thoughts and your emotions. This is where it's hard. This is probably one of the hardest things, to learn to wield a shield when it comes to your thoughts and emotions, because the devil throws all this stuff at you, and he throws lies at you, and there's things that you believe and things you've experienced and all that stuff that becomes part of that. And so what do? You capture those thoughts. You know that thought comes in and says, "Oh, you're worthless, or they don't like you, or whatever it is, whatever you struggle with, insecurity, codependency, addictions, whatever it is." And that thought comes in, and the Bible says you capture it. All right, you capture that thought in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And this is how that works. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, our shield is a weapon, are not of the flesh, but they are divinely powerful. They are from God for the destruction of strongholds. Things placed in our minds and in our hearts the enemy has put there that are a foothold for him to advance his kingdom and his purposes. Powerful for the destruction of strongholds, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That thought comes in, and you go, nope, shield up, deflect that thought. That's not what God's word says about me. That's not what He has said about me. I am going to deflect that thought. I reject that thought in Jesus' name. You capture it, right? Then you move on to that from Philippians in Philippians chapter 4. Paul says, here's what you do then. You deflect that thought, and then he says, finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. We're not gonna perseverate over the things that are negative or bad or all that stuff. That's why I'm saying today, I know the world's going to hell in a handbasket, but we're not going to focus on that. We're going to focus on the good things God is doing. Praise God, He's at work, and He's still alive. He's still on the throne, so He's still moving. So we're going to think about those things and dwell on those things and move forward in those things. That's what faith is. Faith is movement towards something we don't yet see. Understand this. The devil can only use the weapons against you in your mind. I'm talking about in your mind. He can only use the weapons against you that you give him, because he has already been disarmed by the cross and defeated by the resurrection. That's what the scriptures say. He has no weapons that he can form against you, because Jesus has defeated sin and death and hell itself. Learn to wield the shield. That's why I'm encouraging you. You know, if there's an area in your life where you're struggling, okay, we're gonna learn a new technique. We're gonna learn a new principle. We're gonna apply it. I'm gonna stick with it so that I can become proficient with it. This is why we can be of good cheer, right? Psalm 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him. I am helped. Therefore, my heart exults, and with my song I shall thank Him. That's why we can sing this morning the goodness of God. All my life He's been chasing after me. We can say, man, He's been good to me. It doesn't mean it's perfect, but it means it's working, and it's better than it was, for sure. We can be of good cheer. We can have courage. We can have hope. We can move in faith. You do the little things day in and day out that bring about the long-term results. Now, understand this, okay? I know our time is just about done here. Understand this. Understand the times that we live in. You know, do we want to change the tide? Can we change the tide one person at a time? Absolutely. The flip side of that, understand, in the end times, Jesus said, this is what's going to happen. He said, you will face difficult times. What does He mean by difficult times? That we will have lovers of self, lovers of money, people who are boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness but denying its power. I mean, that looks like my Facebook newsfeed. Right? We see this stuff being played out. We see people falling away from the faith, people mocking our faith, that many will mislead it in His name, and there'll be all this stuff happening, wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes and nation against nation and persecution and martyrdom. Do we see that stuff happening, folks? Do we see it happening right here in America? Absolutely. Jesus said it has to happen before He comes. Things are going to get a whole lot worse before they get better. So understand that these are the times that we live in. I understand that we've won some great moral victories in the last few weeks. We cannot legislate our morality. We already have it. It's right here. 10 commandments. God said, that's too difficult. Let's make it down to 2. Still can't wrap our brains around it. Love him first, love your neighbor as yourself. That's what it comes down to. And yet, we see that the worlds are spinning out of control. The more we try to pursue equality and all that other stuff, things get worse because sin is left off the leash and it's just running crazy, right? We've won some moral victories. Roe v. Wade being overturned, affirmative action being struck down, the college, the tuition reimbursement, all that, you know, all that stuff, the student debt, you know, all that stuff being struck down. Why? Because that's not the American way. American way is not like, here, I'm entitled to anything. The American way is you earn what you get. You can have any kind of life you want. You go, but you're responsible for it. So those are great things, and again, I'm not making this a political message. I want to say I don't care what political party you are, right? Your responsibility is to know God's word and then support leaders who follow those principles, period. And if God so calls you to be one of those people, then go do it. Be obedient. Again, our responsibility is not to stick our head in the sand and absolve ourselves or abstain from it, because that's cowardice. God does not call you to be a coward. He has strengthened and equipped you by his might, by his ability, by his giftings, to be exactly who he's made you to be an agent of change. Understand that the story here has to get worse before it gets better. But that end is coming. And he has promised one other... I'll get there in a minute. Proverbs begins and ends with the same phrase. He's a shield to those who take refuge in him. From beginning to end, it is all about how if we study God's ways, study his word, that he will be a shield. He will keep you from the paths of destruction and lead you in the paths of righteousness. Jesus said there was one other thing that would happen at the end of the age, and that is that he would be with us. He'd be with you always to the end of the age. So as we end our time here this morning, I know we have communion this morning yet. We come to the Lord's Supper. The question is simply is this. Will you choose to live in the freedom that God has given you? Will you wield his shield?